We continue our learning. Gazal behema v'hiskina. A person stole an animal, and now the animal is old. It became old in the hands of the gazlan. We learned in the previous mishnah that a gazlan pays kishas hagzela. So we said, let's say the gazlan, after stealing, he was mashbiach. He actually increased the value of the animal. So that's his that he gets to keep. Well, guess what? If there's a loss, then he still has to pay kishas hagzela as well. So the same way he pays kishas hagzela when he improves and the value appreciates, so and he still only has to pay what the value of the animal was, the object was, when it was stolen, and the improvement goes to him. The same thing is true, the loss goes to him. He stole an animal or whatever it is, an object, and it was worth a certain amount when he stole it, and now it depreciated. He still has to pay kishas hagzela as the value was when he stole it. So here he stole an animal, and now it's older, so of course its value depreciates. Or avadim v'hiskinu, or he stole an eved kanani, and now they became old in his possession. Mishalem kishas agzeli, he has to pay the value of what they were worth. When he stole them, he was kone them with the shinoi. What's the shinoi? The fact that they're old. So that's considered that there was a shinoi, and therefore he pays the kishas agzeli what the value was at the time. He keeps them. Can't say, I'm giving you back this old animal, which you would like to. I'm giving you back this old eved, which is worth a lot less than when I stole it. Can't do that. You have to pay kishas agzeli. You kone them with the shinoi, and you pay the value of what they were worth when you stole them. Rabbi Meir Omer, he disagrees when it comes to an avadim. But avadim regarding stealing an eved kanani that now is much older and now the value depreciated. Omer lo harei shel chalafanecha. He can, the gazan can tell the nigzal, here I'm giving you back the eved kanani. Why does he have the right to do that? After all, when he stole it, he was worth a lot more. The answer is because avadim really can't be stolen. An eved kanani has the status of karka, and just like karka is really always in the possession of the owner. You don't really physically steal karka. The fact that you, in Eved Kanani, we compare based on the pasuk in Parshas Bahar, this nachal temasom levenecha macharechem l'rosha sachuza lo olam lahem ta'avodu. An Eved Kanani has the status of nachala, of land, in many areas of halacha. So here too, the same way karka ain't an exelus, land cannot be stolen. And you could give back the land. Here's the land that I stole. This is what it was. Even though it depreciated in value, still give it back the way it is. Same thing is true, says Rav Meir, regarding an Eved Kanani, who has the status of Karka. Therefore, even though it became old and it's now worth a lot less, you can give the Eved Kanani back to the Nigzal, to the person who you stole from. A gazal to the person the gazan give you back to the nigzal, to the one who you stole from. Gazal matbeya venistak peres v'herkivu. Let's say you have someone who stole a coin, and the coin now literally nistak, became cracked. It's cracked to the point where I can't even use this at all. No one's going to accept this coin in any store. It's not going to help. And it's what we call a shini haniker. Very recognizable that this matbea, this coin, can no longer be used as currency. Or he stole peros for kivu. He stole fruit, produce, and all of the fruit is now spoiled. Or yain v'hichmitz, he stole wine, and now it's completely vinegar, it's not wine at all. Mishalim kishas hagzela. This is another example. There was a shini in the guf of the gzela that was a shini nicker, a recognizable change, and therefore the gazlan acquires that. He acquires that coin that eventually became cracked. He acquires the produce that now eventually spoiled, and the wine that fermented to the point where it's now vinegar. He has to pay what the value was with Shasak Zela. He does not have the right to say, well, here's your wine back. Here's your produce back. Here's your spoiled produce back. You stole it when it now became spoiled in your possession. You've acquired it as a gazlan, and you have to suffer those consequences and pay what it was worth at the time that you stole it. What about matbea v'nifsal? He stole a coin, but v'nifsal, which means it literally became invalid, disqualified. It's not cracked. It just means that you can't use it in this particular province, but in another province, they would accept that coin. Or truma v'nitmes. A person stole a truma, and truma can only be by the kohanim, and the truma became tame. Now, if he touched it with something, tame touched it. So it has to be burnt. So now, obviously, it's of no value. After all, you can't use the truma anymore, but it's not a recognizable damage. And the same thing, matbea v'nifsal, which means, nifsal just means that it's not used as currency here, but if you look at the coin, it's not cracked, it's not broken, so it's a hezek, what we call she'eno nikar, or chametz v'aval pesach. A person stole chametz. And now, where the chametz was asr bahana, and now Pesach, obviously now Pesach passed on. And we know that chametz after Pesach is asr bahana. That chametz shavala Pesach, and Pesach passed by, and it was the hands of a Jew in the possession of a Jew. You're not allowed to eat it. So it looks the same. Chametz looks the same, but now before Pesach it was completely fine. Now it's not worth anything. Or behema v'nevda bo'avera. Let's say a person stole an animal, and let's say it was used for avodah zarah purposes. So of course you can't use it as a karba now, but it looks the same. Or nifsal or she nifsal ameyagavay mizbeach. Or let's say you have an animal that now a blemish. You see, it's not a noticeable blemish, but it's a blemish that halachically would disqualify that animal from being brought on the mizbeach. So that's she nifsal ameyagavay mizbeach. Let's say you have an animal that you stole, and this is an animal that killed a person, and now it has to be taken out to be stoned, to be killed, because it killed a person, but the animal still looks the same, but now it has no value, because it has to be stoned. So to return the animal that now has a blemish and can't be used as a carbon, to return the animal that that now is supposed to be stoned, supposed to be killed, to the original, to return the chametz to the original owner from who you stole, where the chametz is now asr bahana, because it was in the possession of a Jew over Pesach, or truma that became tamei, that now it has to be burnt. Nonetheless, says the Mishnah, in all of these cases, Omer lo, the Gazan can tell the Nigzal, Harei shel chalafanecha. Behold, this is in front of you. I'm returning the gzela the way there is. Why? Because this is a hezek she'eno nikar. This is damage. It did not change. The tzura, the form, the way it looks, its appearance, has not changed through nezek. And the same thing would be true, by the way, if you stole peros, and the peros, not that they were completely spoiled where that's very recognizable, but rather only some of them spoiled. Since that's the typical way, that's also a hezek she'eno nikar. And the gazim can say, I know they depreciate a little bit in value because some of them are now spoiled, and when I stole them, they were not spoiled at all. You can return all of them, because that's not a noticeable nezek at all, because only a few, some of them are spoiled. You can return them the way they are. But let's say a person stole a coin, and now it's disqualified completely because the government says this is no longer legal currency. So then that is going to, then no one can use it. That's a hezek nikar. Why is it hezek nikar? It still looks the same. So the fact that no one can use the coin in any province, so still, why should that change? Why should that change matters? Either way, the matbea looks the same. So the answer is no. Since it can't be used anywhere, so therefore we consider this as if it's a hezek nikar recognizable, and you cannot say harei shel chalafanecha. You'd have to pay its value when you stole it kishas agzela. Perek Tes Mishnah Gimel. Nasan la'umanim l'takein. You have a person gives a craftsman a kli, and you go to the professional, you know he'll be able to fix it. But unfortunately, the kilkulu. But these umanim, these craftsmen, did not fix the kli, but rather they ruined the kli. So something was wrong with the table, needed the leg to be fixed, and you gave it to the carpenter, let's say, and he ruined it. So chayav in l'shalim. So these umnim, these craftsmen, have to pay for the value of the kli, not that they ruined. Nasan lecharosh shida teva umigdal litakein. Here, a person gave a carpenter, that's a charash, a shida, which is a wagon made of wood. A teva is a box of wood. Migdal is like a closet, a large closet made out of wood. Litakein. Now, what does it mean, litakein? Here, it means he wants to strengthen it by putting nails in it. The kilkel, but he ruined it. And what did he mean he ruined it? He broke them. Chayavim l'shalim. So obviously, the first case, umnim, is really not a carpenter. It would be a bad example, because the Mishnah gives the example of a carpenter. The first case, a craftsman, someone, an artist, whatever it is, some professional, you give him some type of kli, you want it to be fixed. So in all of these cases, they have to pay because they ruined it. I asked you to fix it and you ruined the kli, you have to pay. Now the Gemara comes to the Gemara says that the Mishnah here is coming to teach us is the following. Whether you gave the Uman, the craftsman, a kli to fix it and he ruined it, or even if you gave him wood to make a kli, you went to the carpenter, I'm giving you wood, I went to the craftsman, I'm giving you wood, I want you to make me a table, make me a chair. And after he made the kli, it was ruined. Let's say they broke it. So here, it didn't start out as a kli that he broke. Nonetheless, the Uman is chayv to pay for the value of the kli. Well, that's strange. I only gave him wood. So the fact that the wood can't be used at all, okay, that I hear, I have to pay the value of wood. He's paying for the value of the kli, but he made, I didn't give him the kli, he made the kli. The answer is doesn't matter because of the principle that's called Ein Uman Koneh B'Shvach Kli. An Uman does not acquire the Shevach, the improvement of the Kli. Any improvement to the Kli is in the Rishus of the Baal of the owner. And since the Uman was given wood to make a Kli, the fact that he now made a Kli, that improvement, that increase in value belongs to the Baal. And therefore, we view anything that's broken now to be the Baal's Kli that broke. And therefore, he has to pay the Baal, not kishas at the time that he was rather what they were worth when he got them, the value of wood, but no kishas hashvira at the time that he actually broke it. And the Gemara says that in fact the sefer, the second case, which speaks about giving a kli to be fixed. Remember, the first case said I gave an uman litake. So it didn't say anything about kli. But the next case is the carpenter speaks about kelim, the shita teva migdol kelim. So that's coming to teach you. Why do we mention the kelim in the sefer? To show you that the resha, when it says, oh, when you gave an uman to fix something, that doesn't have to only mean a kli. I gave him wood to make something and he broke it. So that's where we learn that the resha, the case of the mishnah here, can be speaking about even giving wood. And he made into a kli, that shevach was the baal, and therefore if it's broken by the uman has to pay for the value of the kli, not just for the value of the wood. V'habanai shekibel alav listora sakosel, a banai is a construction worker who was hired to destroy the wall, vishi, and maybe eventually build something else, vishi beres avanim. Oshihizik, he broke even the stones now, the bricks, whatever it is, that the reason I hired him to take down the wall is because I want to use the bricks, I want to use the wood, the stones for something else, but he ruined them. Even those are not usable. Oshihizik, or let's say by taking down the kosel, the wall, he caused some other type of damage. Chayav l'shalem, he has to pay for that damage because we assume that he was not hired to break the stones. He was not hired to cause some other type of damage. Hayasos mitzad zev nafal mitzad acher patra. But let's say he's taking down the wall from this side and something fell on the other side. Patra, we consider he doesn't have to pay for that because that's considered an onus. He's taking down something then over here and something else happens to fall. That circumstance beyond his control, he doesn't have to pay for that type of nezek. V'machvas amaka. But if you're going to tell me that it's because of the banging he did and the force that he was by taking down this wall, other stones fell from the other side, then of course chayav, because he should have realized that based on that force, he may end up knocking down some of the stones, and this is no different than throwing an arrow and causing damage in such a way, in a direct way.